This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap, looks, fires, ends off. Yeah! Touchdown! Aaron Hernandez, Tom Brady, pulls the fat out of the fire.
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate, featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
And the Patriots are world champions again, back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots take on Ray Rice, Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football.
Brady awaiting the shotgun snap on fourth down. He's got it. Back to throw. Looks. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Rob Gronkowski.
Now, Adam, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Welcome into the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here on Patriots.com. We're taking you up to Patriots and Ravens kickoff scheduled for 8:20. And guys, the makeup of this team is a little different than it was last week at this time. No more Aaron Hernandez for this New England Patriots offense. What's the impact going to be starting tonight against Baltimore?
I think it'll be big. I mean, we've talked about it all year. Aaron Hernandez was poised to be the guy on this offense. Was, you know, I was predicting 100 catches. We saw it throughout the summer, just pumping the ball to him. Tom Brady was very comfortable with him in a lot of roles. We all know how versatile he is. The guy who's replacing him, Kellen Winslow, said probably the most versatile tight end in the game. And while he said, I have some similarities, it's clear he's not replacing Aaron Hernandez in everything he does. That said, I think you lucked out, and maybe this is good planning. They obviously had Winslow in 2 weeks earlier, sort of seeing what was available, what his knee was, all that. I mean, this is about as good as you can get when you're replacing Aaron Hernandez. You have a Pro Bowl, athletic, 240-pound guy with some versatility.
Soldier.
Who's a soldier, who's going to fight for you.
Definite added bonus that he's a soldier, yeah.
And as I just said on the 98.5 pregame show, you know, a couple weeks ago the question was the knee. Well, you didn't need him then. Once you needed him, okay, then he's good enough for him to come in. And he talked about it. I have a bad knee. It hurts like hell. But I play every week, so it's not an issue. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what packages he has under his belt for tonight and then moving forward. Obviously, Adam Schefter reported he is going to be active. So, you know, I expected that after talking to him this week. The vibe you got was, I'm going to play. I'm here to play. Now, can he play 20% snaps, 30% snaps? Can he only play in certain packages? Which would be my guess, is there'll be, you know, two or three groupings that he's out there, two or three packages that they're going to use him. But, you know, it's a big loss, but in terms of filling the void, I'd much rather see him than probably 90% of the other tight ends they could have brought in. So, you know, I think it's a... And wow. Right now, the highlight of Jimmy Sanders' 90-plus yard fumble return for a touchdown is on the board. Woo! Look at Jimmy fly down the sideline. Jimmy, why can't we get safeties like that?
He's doing the Deion thing too at the end. Yeah, I would echo everything Andy said about, you know, the whole situation. I think that you think about some of the guys, Adam, that you would bring in off the street to potentially fill a reasonably important role. And when have you had a guy of the talent of Kellen Winslow in the past? You know, this, you know, they've had a remarkable run, the Patriots have, of being able to fill in for injured guys and get by. But, you know, they're sort of filling in and, you know, mixing and matching and covering up some weaknesses. This is a guy who's a Pro Bowl caliber pass-catching tight end. Now, Andy talked about the injury situation with the knee, and that's a legitimate concern, but... I just had something gone the wrong way. It was Fat Tony's sausage and peppers.
Yeah,
just kind of
hit
me hard.
I should have pointed this out off the top. We just have a huge tray.
Hitting me hard.
Courtesy of friend of the show, Fat Tony. And just a huge tray of sausage and peppers just choking everyone here.
Which automatically just threw me off my game completely as the fat guy.
Not choking me.
Sausage choking.
Yeah, instead you got stuff coming down your chin over there. Why don't you clean yourself, you slob?
You got a little scugacha on your chin.
It's not mustard.
The situation with Winslow, though, Adam, I think could be perfect. You're probably going to be without Hernandez for at least a month. You know, maybe, you know, a little longer than that even. I mean, it could work out perfectly. You could get a little, you know, you get four, five, six games out of Winslow, and if the knee becomes a problem and then you have to sort of shelve him, you know, maybe you can coincide that with Hernandez's return. So I think what it does is it allows you to continue to keep your base offense the way it is. You still have Gronk as your multi-purpose tight end who can do everything, and then you have Winslow now as that pass-catching tight end. And Andy's right. He won't be able to do all the different things that Hernandez did, but I think he'll be able to catch the ball every bit as well as Aaron does.
And you have Daniel Fells sort of itching to get going here.
And it looks like he might have a shot. It's a little early.
He said he's ready.
A little early for that kind of stuff, but they do have four that are definitively out at this point, right? They had the Justin Francis and Hernandez that, you know, we knew were out on Friday, and now Dederick and
Dennard.
You know, so they only have three more to make, so Fells has got a shot.
And we should get those, what, like an hour from here, Eastern time, a little after 7 o'clock. We should be getting our inactives. In the same vein, offshoot from Aaron Hernandez being out for the foreseeable future, whatever it may be, what's the role going to be for Welker while Hernandez is out?
Well, I would hope and I would think he goes back to kind of being that focal point as the possession guy underneath. We'd sort of seen that shift to Hernandez as the slot guy who's, you know, going to catch a lot of passes and kind of the offense goes through him, be a first read. I have to think, you know, unless there really is a lot going on that we don't know about and, you know, maybe they're trying to trade him. I know that was sort of posed by Greg Bedard today in the Globe that there were people around the league. He kind of pulled some executives and they had the feeling that they were trying to trade him, trying to get ready to trade him, kind of laying that foundation.
Like a Randy Moss scenario from a few years ago.
Yeah, I guess. And that's interesting. It's certainly something, you know, worth noting. You know, whether they were trying to do it or not, the fact that NFL people thought they were trying to do it is interesting. And I'm not saying they thought, you know, they hadn't shopped him. The impression from afar was, it looks like they're kind of laying the roadwork
right
to trade him.
If you want him and you're willing to meet their price, you can go get him.
Right. So, you know, I think that in and of itself, that they thought that is interesting, even if the Patriots had no intention. The fact that another team observed what was going on with Wes Welker over the last month, which is something we've all talked a lot about, and their read was, looks like they're getting ready to trade him or something. So, you know, I think Welker has to be a big part of this offense. You know, I said to Paul when they brought in Winslow and Branch this week, well, Branch is probably the guy. If they need somebody tonight, he's ready. You know, he's only been gone 2 weeks. You know, he was here. He's productive last year, all that. Maybe those two kind of fill it in that void where he is the short term, ready to go on the field until Winslow's more up to speed. But you're right. Welker was sort of a secondary guy for the last couple weeks here, even though he was very productive last week, you know, almost 100 yards, 20 yards a catch type game. But I got to think he's, you know, at least back in the starting lineup. Right?
At the very least, as I've been saying all week, he'll have a former Super Bowl MVP in Branch to talk to on the sideline. So you have an all-pro receiver and a former Super Bowl MVP. If they need someone to talk to, they can chat it up on the sideline.
Not a bad combo, huh?
Well, Julian Edelman plays, you know.
Mallett will be pumped when he's warming up on the sideline.
75% of the snaps. Listen, I think that the basics of what they want to do, and this is something that's sort of gotten under Andy and I's skin with talking about the two tight end stuff. They ran two tight ends last year. Damn close to 100% of the snaps offensively.
But Welker was on the field.
That's the change. But, you know, this explanation as to why Welker's not on the field now to say, well, they want to go two tight ends all the time. No, that's not why. I mean, clearly Bill has decided that with Lloyd as a true outside-the-numbers wide receiver, he stays on the field all the time. Branch didn't stay on the field all the time last year as that number one sort of outside receiver. So there's one change, and the other change is he likes Edelman. He is trying to get Edelman playing time. We talked about this a little bit last week. I don't necessarily agree with that, but he thinks that Edelman is giving him options that Welker doesn't. We'll find out if Julian Edelman can be a reliable option all year. I have seen him, the more he plays, the more he breaks down. That's been my sort of impression of Julian Edelman. Not that I think he's without value and doesn't deserve to play ever, but the more he plays, he tends to break down. And one thing we can say about Wes Welker is that he's been extremely durable throughout his time in New England.
We have more thoughts on this coming up, but Welker's role going forward with the team. Also your thoughts. You can give us a call, 508 508- 888-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll take your thoughts there. And before we get to your keys to the game here, guys, one more. Especially given the struggles of the offense last week, what's the early impression of Josh McDaniels reintegrating himself here in New England?
Paul, why don't you start? You were critical of him this week.
Yeah, I thought that his play calling was a little bit inconsistent, I thought, on Sunday. Andy likes to, you know, anytime you say something, you know, it's not toting the party line over
right.
there. Andy
anytime,
likes to
like
try
you
to,
say, the Cardinals are going to cover or
he,
anything
well,
like
he tries
that,
to, well, listen, you were foolish last week. You know, just because the blind squirrel actually found the nut doesn't mean you are right all the time. So you just be careful over there, Junior.
Yeah.
The situation with the play calling, I thought, and, you know, Andy likes to exaggerate, and I'm trying to make a rift here. I think McDaniels needs to go. No. None of that.
Paul's always been a Bill O'Brien guy.
I am a Bill O'Brien guy.
Punishing Josh McDaniels for one questionable call.
But as you know, I was a Josh McDaniels guy before that. I'm
you're not now.
Big Josh McDaniels
all week long.
Guy. I just thought that there was too many runs, Adam. I thought in third down situations, third and three, third and six, third and four, third and two. To me, in the NFL, that's a passing down. And I don't mind running once in a while on third down. You might, you know, the element of surprise and whatnot, and depending on your matchups, if you got a light front, you think you can take advantage of it. But I thought they did it four or five times unsuccessfully. One of them they actually got what I thought was a very favorable spot, Woodhead, early in the game at a third and three that he got 3 yards on. I don't think he got 3 yards, but they gave it to him. I just – too many runs on third downs. That's all. I mean, Andy is going to make this out to be a huge thing that I think, you know, McDaniels must go. No, not the case. I think he's a good offensive mind, and I generally like the way that they work in concert, Belichick and McDaniels, in terms of the game plan, in terms of their mixing and matching. And I like the idea of what they've done in terms of not having to necessarily make wholesale changes depending on what they want to do. Right now they have 11 or 12 guys that they can leave on the field and do whatever they want. That's good versatility. You know, in other words, like Andy really likes the idea of getting Stephen Ridley, for example, passing situations, you get him up. First of all, he's proven to be a pretty good receiver so far, made some big plays. But you get him out wide, and I think he commands a little bit more attention than, say, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis did when you wanted to go empty with him on the field. So I like the fact that you have the same personnel and you can kind of do whatever you want.
Your thoughts over there on Josh McDaniels, or did Paul pretty much lay it out?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Paul did a fine job laying it out. I'm a McDaniels guy. I think the most overrated thing that football fans and some media types, including Paul, do is criticize the offensive coordinator. I think play calling is just, it's always right when it works. It's never right when it doesn't.
Yeah,
it's like,
see,
this,
you know me better than
of
that,
all
though.
These fans and
well, then
you know
fine.
That I don't so always it, like good. Sometimes there's calls that work that I don't like.
Well, fine. So if that's what it is, if it's just, you know, overreacting.
No, I'm not saying it's always that, but every offensive coordinator who's ever been here has been highly criticized at various points, mm-hmm. whether it was Charlie Weiss. You know, everybody say he's padding his resume, padding his stats. You know, then it was Bill O'Brien, didn't know what he was doing, want McDaniels back, and McDaniel. Everyone has been criticized, and, you know, they've all ended up moving on from here to be head coaches. So, you know, other people thought some pretty good things about him. And, oh, by the way, they all put together some great offenses that either won Super Bowls or set records.
You know, I looked at it. I was critical of the offensive coordinator as well. Maybe not in the play calling per se, but just the fact that Gronkowski was invisible for so long, and maybe you put more of that on the player than I did necessarily, but that was sort of my criticism. How do you go so long after Aaron Hernandez is out and just not be able to find Gronkowski? And again, maybe the answer is the quarterback. Maybe the answer is the player, in this case, Gronkowski. I put some of that on McDaniels
the
as well.
The one thing I'd be critical of, and A, I don't know if it happened, and B, if it did happen, I don't know who called for it, but the whole pumping the ball to Brandon Lloyd, feeding Brandon Lloyd this Brandon ratio that I called it last game.
He did.
13 targets.
He did.
I don't get that. And maybe that's, and what was it, Fat Tony?
Yes.
Fat Tony shaking his head over there. He doesn't get why we're feeding the ball to Brandon Lloyd. And this is a man who knows about feeding people. You don't feed Brandon Lloyd the football.
He's feeding team at PFW, I'll tell you that.
Not when he's not catching it.
Right, and not doing anything with it. And screen passes, like, that's not even his game. Even when he's on his best, why are we feeding him screen passes? So that I didn't get. Now, the only thing I'll say, and Paul brought this up, maybe they're just saying, I'll be damned if we're going to go down the Ocho Cinco road where he doesn't build a relationship with Tom Brady. We are going to force him to build a relationship to Tom Brady, which long-term, I guess, is the right call. You know, I've kind of said I want to keep running the ball because I think long-term you're better off having established a running game. Well, you're probably better off long-term if Brandon Lloyd is a comfortable contributor on this offense who Tom Brady is comfortable with. That said, 13 and the, just didn't settle with me.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. I think the reason they've tried to get it to him is to make sure it doesn't have, you know, doesn't have a repeat of last year. If you had the situation, what did Ocho had 15 catches, 16 catches? What was it?
It was 15 for the year.
You know, I don't recall one single bubble screen to him among his catches. I could think of about five out of Brandon Lloyd's 13 this year. He has not proven to be elusive with the ball in his hands. Now, he's done a great job getting open on deep balls. He's gotten open twice, one in each game. And we might look at that whole situation much differently had Brady connected on those.
Sure.
You know, if it was 15 for another 100 yards and two more touchdowns.
But that's his game.
Right.
I mean, isn't he average
what,
like 17-8 or something?
That's what I want to see. I want to see those plays.
2 years ago, was over 15 a catch.
Yeah. And so, Adam, he's also shown to be very adept at, you know, some difficult catches along the sidelines.
Right, the toe tapper on
you know,
the sideline.
So I'm not advocating, let's get him out, you know, let's give him the deep freeze that we gave Ocho last year.
No.
But
he's
let's,
the exact opposite, though.
Right. Let's not go with the force feed on the screens.
Right.
It doesn't look like that's really a big part of his game.
Who was
game.
The last outside receiver to have the ball thrown his way that many times? I don't think Moss ever was. I don't think Branch ever was.
That wasn't Moss's game either.
Generally, a
screens.
Slot receiver, it's just like a run in this modern NFL, these possession passes. That comes out of the slot guy, Hernandez or Welker. These outside receivers, just getting him the ball 13 times seemed kind of crazy.
And I will say, you know, getting back to last week, and I don't want to spend the whole show talking about the Cardinals, but I do think, you know, in Andy's defense of the play calling and all that stuff with the offensive coordinator, the players did not execute very well. Some plays that I thought were there last week. They didn't play well. And there's no you called it, Adam. You were worried about the game heading into it. You were the only one that really was. And I thought it was too early in the season to have that kind of a lackluster performance where, you know, you're giving up four sacks, you're committing some silly penalties, you know, you're going the negative runs. They put themselves in the situation last week where they needed to hit some big plays because they kept putting themselves in bad situations. And when the big plays weren't there, they couldn't score points.
I want to hit the Twitter real quick.
Sure. Hit the Twitter. Hit the Twitter
just
over
real
there.
Quick. We got some things coming in. Brandon Lloyd and Logan Mankins were two of the players out on the field with the medical staff working out to see if they're good to go. Obviously, both players were questionable on the injury report this week. Brandon Lloyd with a thigh, Logan Mankins with a hip. Be interesting to see how that unfolds. Josh McDaniels was out there also talking to the strength staff, so it'll be interesting to see, speaking of Lloyd, in terms of health, what his role can be. And then the big story, I think, of
Lloyd!
The day. Brandon Lloyd. Yep, Lloyd. Big story of the day in our geek friend, the real Mike Haku, who works in our web department.
As opposed to the fake one.
Tweeted us, according to Jason LaConfora, Jets fear Revis tore his ACL. So Patriots won today before even taking the field.
And Reggie Bush got hurt on that play, too.
Yeah, well, Reggie Bush got hurt. CJ Spiller got hurt. The rest of the division just fell apart.
Great day for
right.
the Patriots.
And we'll,
that's
we'll
game,
keep,
set, match we'll, if that's a torn ACL
I'm
for
kidding.
Revis.
We'll keep our eyes here on some of these injured Patriots, including Lloyd and Mankins. Again, we should get you the inactive somewhere around 7 o'clock Eastern time.
While we're hitting Twitter. Yeah. Don't step on my hands. Torrey Smith just jogged on the field to get warmed up. That was tweeted by Ravens, the real Ravens or whatever their account, retweeted by Sunday Night Football. Obviously, most people probably aware, but his brother was killed in a motorcycle accident. He left the team hotel, I think, around 2 a.m. with a member of the security, but told John Harbaugh he wanted to play, and Harbaugh said, you know, that's up to you. We support you. Whatever. He's on the field warming
he's
up,
on
so
the
looks
field.
Like he's going to play.
He's inside the facility, and it does look like
one of those
play.
Emotional things from the Ravens' perspective that could go one or two ways. Either it crushes them, and it's, you know, it's tough to focus on football, or it's one of those polarizing things, and Patriots are on the end of a whoop-assin' because the other team was just flying high.
All right. Well, from the Twitter, let's go over to the poll center. Matt LePan, what do you got over there?
Hello, Matt! Hello!
Way over here in the poll center, we're going to lead off tonight with who lead the Patriots in receptions. Lloyd, Gronkowski, Welker, Branch, Winslow, or other?
And, Welker is the answer.
It is 50% right now
wow.
for
if he plays.
Welker, and 0% for other. So
now,
nobody's
quickly,
in Julian Edelman's
leading
score.
And receiving, what is that catches or is
in,
that yards?
Interceptions.
In receptions, excuse me. Okay.
Receptions.
Number of receptions.
Right. If Wes Welker's not the right answer, then I might be on board with what the hell's going on.
Wow.
That's how it's supposed to work.
I agree.
Hernandez
isn't going to add to that.
You think it's going to be Welker as well?
Oh,
it should be.
I think it'll be Welker.
If
I mean,
it isn't,
Welker
then
or
I'm
Gronk,
joining those
right?
NFL.
See, I'm going Gronk.
Welker or Gronk.
That's who I think it's going to be. And look, we've seen him limited, and it's more him being Welker. It's more his role from a few seasons ago compared to last year. More as that third guy on. I don't know. We've seen enough where
his role has always been catch 100 passes.
Sure.
The only time it wasn't
is when he's coming back from a knee injury.
Other than that, it was catch 100 passes.
But I'm going to go.
That's his role.
I'll go Gronkowski. We'll see how that works out.
The only reason that role will change, and may be changing.
Bet it all on Gronk then.
Why? You went with Gronk?
I went with Gronk.
Yeah. If the Ravens
allow Gronk. I literally just said I'm going with Gronk. Yes.
If the Gronk.
Adam Nostradamus Jones over there made a prediction.
Dumbass.
Jonestradamus is how I like to
no,
go with
no,
it.
No, actually, we don't.
Jonestradumass? Is that how we
yes.
like to do it? All right. We'll stick
whatever
with that.
Whatever it is, it ends in dumbass. Or we could just stick to dumbass.
You can give us a call here, the dumbass here, alongside Andy Hart and Paul Perillo. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. It's how you get in touch with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let Dunkin' Donuts make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey, cheddar, bacon, and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get your today. America runs on Dunkin'. Get yours today, rather.
Yeah,
America
get your
runs
today.
On
get your today. I got my today.
We've been talking
you
a lot.
You got your today?
I got mine today.
Thankfully, we all got our
this
today.
Is
we
actually
woke
my
up this morning. If we hadn't gotten our today, we'd be dead.
It's actually my second today.
Maybe you need a third.
But we've been focusing in quite a bit on the Patriots offense and how it's going to look
yes,
without
it, Andy,
Aaron Hernandez and Wes Welker's expanded.
You keep plowing right through. Just plowing like we're not talking.
We've been focusing in on the offense. Let's focus in on this game tonight with Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
You've waited all week for it.
Oh, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
You know, just assume that every game we're going to have keys to the game.
Okay,
that's all.
I think we skipped them last week, didn't we? Did we forget?
No. We did those.
Oh, we did them last
was
week.
Was my key right? No, because I picked the Patriots, so my key could not have been right. I will start with my key to the game, and I am going to start with the front, the line of scrimmage. I think on both sides of the ball, I think the Patriots have to be better. I'm assuming Dan Conley's going to be back. Donald Thomas struggled last week. Calais Campbell, Darnell Dockett dominated that game. It hurt your running game, and it got in Tom Brady's head. He was not only sacked and pressured, but he started to feel more pressure than was actually there. They can't allow themselves to be dominated up front. And obviously with Logan Mankins, apparently a game-time decision here, out working with the medical staff, that plays into that. Because if you get Conley back, but Donald Thomas has to move to left guard,
sure.
Well, that's certainly not good. Haloti Ngata is every bit the player that Darnell Dockett is, plays that same side over there, that left defensive end in the 3-4. Major concern. And then the other side of the football, you know, all these Ravens weapons and the no huddle and everything, I still think you need to start up front. And Paul's a big believer that this is a very good run defense building here in New England, couple dominant performances.
He says
to open
it so
the
derisively,
season.
Like I don't have any idea what I'm talking
yeah.
about.
They shut down Chris Johnson, just like oh wait, every other team shuts down Chris Johnson. But
I'm sorry, I work for the Patriots. I tend to accentuate the positive things the Patriots do.
I think that defensive front needs to do that again against these Ravens. I think they need to just shut Ray Rice down or keep him in check, and then after that, get a little pressure on Flacco. But it's in the trenches. This game will be won or lost, where a lot of games are won or lost in the trenches.
Nah, that's a Steve Sable homage right there. NFL
yeah, see,
films.
It's yeah. paying tribute to that's just good. Classic NFL football.
That was good of you.
This game, like most, was won in the trenches.
All right, Paul, key to the game.
Well, on account of Andy pretty much mentioned every element
I
of the game.
I just took the trenches. You can take anything away from the trenches.
One thing I really agree with Andy's
Wait a
point
minute.
On.
No, it's not against the rules to have the same key.
No,
right?
One thing I really agree with Andy's point on the trenches is I think the Patriots need to run the ball tonight because Baltimore is not – they have these unbelievable statistics over the last decade or so in terms of run defense. It's really they haven't allowed like 1 or 200 yard rushes over the last 100 games or something. They haven't allowed better than 4 yards a carry as a team in like 12 years. I mean, it's amazing. But this is not that defense. They're missing some guys. Terrell Suggs is an enormous loss for them. So I think the Patriots need to run the ball a little bit tonight. And I think if they can do that effectively, especially early in the game, I think this is going to be a very emotional start tonight. This Torrey Smith situation, this tragedy that happened this morning, only adds to that. But Baltimore was already going to come in my opinion, sky high for this. They have been dying to get the Patriots in their place. They have that tonight, and I think that they need to find a way to win this game. This is, I think, a more important game for Baltimore than it is for the Patriots. So they need a situation where they sort of weather that early storm. And I think you can do that by we can hear you, by the way. You're yelling and screaming in there, and you're coming up over the headphones. So relax, Kevin, the monkey.
Sorry, Shab's dead.
Do you ever see any bunch of fans that celebrate other teams' injuries more than Patriots fans do?
Just Collins.
There's been like 75 tweets about Darrell Revis. It's amazing how happy they get over other people getting hurt.
CJ Spiller, by the way, looks
on consecutive roughing the passers, by the way, Shab is hurt.
Yep.
Yeah, CJ Spiller is out. Well, he left today's game anyway. We'll get to that. But I agree with Andy's point wholeheartedly about the trenches. The offensive line especially needs to play much better than it did last week. And I think you need to make sure you take Ray Rice out and put it all on Flacco. If you allow Flacco to throw as he wants to and, you know, get in rhythm, I think he can beat you. I think more of Flacco than most. But if you put it all on Flacco and make him beat you by himself, I don't think he can. That's why he's not in that upper echelon quarterback. He's a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. And that's why he can't do it all on his own. I don't think he's capable of doing that. So this is be very important to see if the Patriots can win those battles in the trenches.
All I know is if Gerard Mayo could find $21,000 for his hit, that right there has to be a $50,000
fine. I
mean, Shab,
if not more.
No, but the good news is the producer of the show thinks it's funny.
I mean, yeah, that's borderline suspension, in my opinion.
I mean, Shab's helmet's flying off. By the way, they almost completed the pass for a touchdown.
Oh, it should have been. It was dropped.
Yeah, the catch was almost amazing.
Yeah.
One-handed.
Andre Johnson in the end zone. We'll keep you up to speed
quick question.
On Matt Schaub and some other injuries.
One thing.
Yeah.
If Logan Mankins does not play, can the Patriots win this game?
Sure.
See,
I'm not sure.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. I have to say you can win a game without a lineman.
I know you can. I'm just saying. Thomas, Ryan Wendell, and Dan Conley are my middle of the field, and every third series, Marcus Cannon is my right tackle, and my left tackle is the guy skating by everybody else.
Haloti Ngata.
Andy, I wouldn't guess that you would win the game 38-35 in that situation, but I still am not sold on this Ravens offense. I think the Ravens offense is better than it has been. I think they have some more options, but I don't think they're an unstoppable force, and right now I'm still sort of reluctant to just embrace the Patriots' defense because I know how bad the offenses are that they've played. But I like what I've seen on defense, and I'm not just willing to say if the Patriots' offense struggles, this team can't win. I think they might be able to be better equipped to win a rock fight than they have been in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I wish I was as high on the defense as you are. I'd like to see them beat somebody with a pulse.
Well, maybe we'll see some of that tonight against the Ravens and their up-tempo offensive attack. I'm excited to see that thing unveiled tonight. We'll take your thoughts, your keys on this game. 508-298-0398. You can email us webradio@patriots.com. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on patriots.com. We are live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Let's hit the phones. Our buddy Jeff is in Vegas, and he'll get things going here on the Patriots pregame social. What's going on, Jeff?
Hi, guys. How are you? I apologize. Hi. How are you?
Are you trying not to get ripped by emailers again?
Oh, no, I just thought I'd change it up a little bit.
The chat's already on top of that.
Much like Belichick does when he keeps everyone off balance.
It is what it is.
What do we got on late movement? I'm intrigued by this game with late movement. Torrey Smith dealing with a tragedy. You obviously have some of these game time decisions. What do we got going out in the desert?
Great question. Glad you asked. I've been at the sports book here since 7 a.m. Pacific time. And really the total is what has really swung up. It started about like 46 and a half, touched 50 last night. Now back down to about 48 and a half. The spread itself has been pretty steady. Baltimore -3. And just swung down to -2.5.
Okay. So what are you feeling? What are you feeling there?
I'm feeling it's a real tough spot for New England. Obviously, if Brady can pull this one off, you know, I'll be very impressed. As Paul alluded to, that crowd is going to be sky high. But like Bill said, speaking of BB, that wears off, you know, relatively soon. And then it comes down to execution.
Why are you talking like Ron Jaworski
execution?
Or Brian Lowe.
And super quick on that hit by Matt Schaub. I mean, give that guy credit. That reminds me of that hit Brady took early in his career at Buffalo when he was trying to do that half fly thing and got his helmet knocked off.
Jeff's getting taken to jail right now.
Vegas. I think my ride was here in Vegas for a second there. But, Schaub just popped right up, just like Tom did.
He's a tough son of a...
Yeah, that was vicious. So,
all right, where are we going with the money? Let's go.
Yeah, that's going to bring us right to the Jeff in Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Heavens to Betsy!
I've made it abundantly clear how I feel about this game. I think the I think New England will play well, but probably will just come up short. I think the only way the Patriots can win handily is if they get a few good bounces and free plays. I think the one thing you guys didn't mention in your keys to the game is that past several matchups, Baltimore just seems to play well against the Patriots' offense, no matter what personnel they have out there defensively.
Okay.
Therefore, I'm betting the house, my son's educational savings, my life savings, take the Ravens minus the 2.5 and go the under 50. It's touch 50. I'm going to go Ravens and the under. I hope I'm wrong. Lock it in.
I hope you're wrong, too, but I'm not sure you're wrong.
I think he's right.
I'm torn on this game, and I picked the Patriots, but, I mean, it's what I said last January. Every time I say X, I think you can counter with Y for the Ravens, or if you say Y for the Ravens, you can counter with X for the Patriots. All right, Jeff.
Yeah, that sounded like his play of the week. Yeah, that's exactly what it sounded like.
I'm glad I'm not a gambler. I wouldn't want to pick this game. I'm torn. You know, even the numbers, like you flip through releases, well, you know, the Patriots always bounce back off losses. Well, so do the Ravens. They're the two best teams coming off losses. Flacco coming off losses, his numbers are phenomenal. Like 19 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, there's just every reason to pick both teams.
The two longest streaks without being below 500 in football.
Everything.
Patriots is a record, by the way.
You know who the winner is tonight? Sunday Night Football.
Well, if it turns out to be a good game.
But it's a good game no matter what. This is a marquee matchup of marquee matchups.
So we might as well get this out there. You picked the Patriots.
I did.
You're picking whom?
The Ravens.
Picking the Ravens. I'm going Patriots as well. And I'm going with what you cited.
Feel confident?
I feel all right about it. And honestly, going into the season.
The Cardinals is picking the Patriots.
Going into the season. The guy was right, is picking the Patriots. So going into the season, I had this one circled as a
slobber knocker.
I don't think the Patriots are going to win it. Tough spot, going on the road. Paul cited the environment, everything hanging over from the AFC Championship game last year. I just thought it was a tough spot. In a weird way, I feel better about the Patriots having lost last week, coming back and winning this game. You touched on it, Andy. I know the Ravens play well after losses. I think this Patriots team, outside of what we saw last year against the Giants and Steelers, I would expect them to bounce back and not lose back-to-back here. So that's sort of why I feel okay about the Patriots in this spot. For whatever reason, Bill Belichick does a good job getting these guys' attention after a loss.
If he has a good team. You know, that's the other thing, is making sure you're building in the right direction.
But 2 or 3 weeks ago, we all felt this was a good team.
Yeah,
last week,
I still feel it's a good team.
So do I. Which is why I think they'll bounce back.
They haven't played a good team yet, and they're 1-1, in my opinion. I don't think the Cardinals are a good football team. They have some good players.
They're
going to
be 7-0, according to someone on Twitter.
But I actually think this game is going to be won and lost a little bit in the Ravens' head as a collective soul, not just the Torrey Smith thing, which I think could factor in emotionally. I mean, you have the world's greatest preaching, motivating middle linebacker with the ultimate preaching tool tonight.
Yeah, that's
in Torrey Smith's brother.
I have not considered that. That's
but
a good
even
point.
Beyond that,
it's his will.
Yeah, all that
Torrey.
Crap.
It's
all that
will.
Crap. That. Yes, that. But even beyond all that, just the whole.
He would want it this way.
We're at home, and damn it, we're the best team in the AFC, and we're going to appoint ourselves the best team in the AFC tonight by kicking the ass of the New England Patriots. No more close games. We are going to blow these MFers off the field and just go with it. Or the other thing happens, and we just are never, ever going to beat the Patriots, so let's just pack it in.
All right, emails are piling up, so I promise we will get to those. Your thoughts on this matchup tonight, Patriots and Ravens. Kickoff is a little after 8 o'clock. We'll continue the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium as we get the view from the other side, the Baltimore Ravens' point of view. That's next here on Patriots.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Dunkin' fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
This is Dante Hightower, the New England Patriots, and I get ready for every game with Andy Hart and Paparella on the Patriots Pregame Social.
It's Dunkin' Donuts Patriots Pregame Social. Adam Jones alongside Andy Hart, Paul Perillo. You guys both whistling, or is that just Andy? Multi-talented Andy Hart.
You're bothering Fat Tony. Together,
come real close.
I don't know if you get enough credit for
whistle,
the...
Whistle baby, sausage show.
The multifaceted skills that he brings on this show.
As opposed to the sausage fest that this is.
I've been enjoying these... The sausage and peppers of Fat Tony brought into our Subway Fresh broadcast studios here on Patriots.com. We'll get your phone calls, 508-298-0398. You can email us, webradio@patriots.com. We do want to get the view from the other side for this matchup, Patriots and Ravens. And to do that, we go behind enemy lines.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
All right, and to do that, we welcome in John Eisenberg of Ravens.com to the program. And John, obviously tragedy has struck the Ravens, and specifically wide receiver Torrey Smith. What's the mood around the team?
Well, the mood is, he left the hotel this morning. Torrey did. He went to Virginia, where his family lives. He was there, and the latest update is he is here. He is going to play. He came back. He's on the field. warming up, and he will play. So it will be an emotional, very emotional night for the Ravens, I'm sure. I mean, this is very, very fresh. This just happened, you know, last night. So kind of a stunning turn of events, and remains to be seen how it all plays out. But Torrey is going to play.
Now, John, I'm going to assume, with the Torrey Smith situation aside, this was going to be an emotional game anyway, and, you know, obviously with Ray Lewis and everything that he brings to the table, but that crowd. Bill Belichick talked about it all week in terms of preparing for that environment. Do you get the vibe in the city that this is a huge game that this crowd looks to play a part in?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not quite what you think. I mean, they certainly, I mean, in the minds of the players that were in the championship game last year and the fans, you know, exacting some sort of revenge for that game is definitely on the minds of a lot of people. But really a larger thing, I think, is that, I mean, you know, it's a new year. 30% of the team has turned over. Billy Kondo's not here. Lee Evans is gone. I mean, things have changed. So what I think they really want, the Ravens as an organization and the fans, is the fact that these teams have played like four years since John Harbaugh got here, and they've all been in New England. So this is the first time that New England has come here since 2007, and I think that's really the one they feel like, golly, we finally have them on our own turf here, and this is the time to exact a little bit of payback, you know, even though the Ravens did knock the Patriots out in the playoffs one year, but I do think that they feel that it's finally getting them here and settle some scores.
Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about that offense and the changes that they've made with the no huddle. I know it's early, only a couple of games, but what are your impressions been of the new look?
Well, I mean, they haven't quite figured it out yet. They looked real good on the Monday night opener against the Bengals. It sort of went into hibernation in the second half last week against the Eagles. They were on the road. They stopped using the no huddle. They barely ran the no huddle in the second half last week. They did sort of have the hurry up a little bit. And, you know, they continued to pass in short yardage situations, and they didn't convert repeatedly and wound up costing them a ball game. And people here are fans, you know, pretty upset with the play calling of Cam Cameron last week. So that's definitely something that's on the table tonight for the Baltimore people. You know, how are they going to do this? You know, Ray Rice didn't touch the ball nearly enough in the first two games. How are they going to incorporate him into this hurry-up thing? They haven't quite figured it out yet.
Do you have an idea how you think they are going to try to approach the Patriots? Will we see more of that no-huddle we saw in opening day? Will Ray Rice be more active? How do you think they might attack the Patriots' young defense?
I think you will see more no-huddle tonight. I think they feel more comfortable at home where they got the crowd. The crowd noise was a factor last week. I think Philly's a loud place, and they're sort of new to running this thing, And I think that's probably why they went away from it. And John Harbaugh even said that. He said, you know, crowd noise was a factor. So this is a good home team. That's one thing the Ravens, that's probably the biggest thing the Patriots are facing tonight is the Ravens have been pretty Jekyll and Hyde over the last couple of years. Really, really good at home. They have the longest home winning streak in the league, I believe. 12 games, I think. It's either 11 or 12, I'm sorry, but the longest home winning streak in the league. On the road, they've been kind of a 500 team. So, you know, when they get home, they play the way they want to play, and they've been pretty good at it and have good home crowds. So, I mean, they're going to lose one of these days, and tonight could be one of them. But, you know, that's what the Patriots are facing. Pretty good home environment here.
On the flip side, defensively for Baltimore, we hear a lot about they're getting a little older, and they still have those Hall of Fame players in Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. But, you know, from our point of view, we don't see them every down, every day, but they still look like they're pretty good. How good is this defense without Terrell Suggs?
Well, they're struggling. They've struggled in the first 2 weeks. You're right that certainly Ray is 37, Ed Reed is 34. Those guys are definitely getting older. What they're really suffering from is not their age so much, is that there's a lot of transition. They lost two starters. Free agency, Jarrett Johnson is a linebacker, very underrated, was set the edge on the run defense here for years. Corey Redding did the same thing with defensive ends. They're gone. And then when you throw in Suggs with injury, huge. I mean, he's defensive player of the year last year. You're talking 3/7 of your front seven there, and they've turned it over to you. So they're actually getting younger. They've thrown young guys into the breach. And still between, you know, they definitely are struggling to sort of put the pieces together there. The Eagles were a pretty tough team last week, and they gave up a lot of yards. But, I mean, they'll still make plays. Reed has picked off a ball in each of the first two games. And Lewis is still, you know, even at his age, still makes plays. And certainly at home, they tend to play better. But, you know, a lot of teams would take it, but it's not quite up to the standards of what they're used to here.
And it seemed like for years they couldn't develop the cornerback position, but now what I'm hearing and reading is some of the talk of these young corners. Obviously, Webb is developing into a very good player, but Jimmy Smith and Kerry Williams. What's your opinion on those corners? Is that becoming potentially the strength of this defense as some of the other pieces get older?
Yeah, for sure, and especially Webb. Webb is just outstanding. I'd be really surprised if the Patriots threw at Webb. I mean, they threw at him in the championship game, and he picked it off. And, you know, he's in the first two games, I don't think there's been a ball thrown his way. Teams are staying away from Webb. And that's, a good news, bad news thing. The good news is Webb is really good over there. The bad news is they are having some success on the other side against Kerry Williams and Jimmy Smith. You know, they're going to line up in the nickel a ton tonight, like Arizona did last week. So all those guys will be on the field. And they won't be thrown at Webb. They'll throw at Kerry Williams and Jimmy Smith and those guys. Jimmy Smith is their first-round pick. Is their only first-round pick on defense since Haloti Ngata in 2006. And they have high hopes for him. And they expect him to be a shutdown guy eventually. He is not that yet. They're going to throw him out there and hope that he figures it out. And they're certainly his big, tall, rangy guy, and they think he'll get there. But that's definitely where the Patriots will be going tonight.
Just one quick nuts and bolts question on Bernard Pollard. What is his health situation? Do you expect the Patriot killer to play tonight? Because we all know that when James Ahedibo plays, that might play into the hands of the Patriots. So what's the situation there?
Yeah, Pollard says he's playing. Pollard, I don't know whether his bruised rib. So it's really just a question of what's his pain tolerance. And, you know, I have no idea whether he's taking a shot to do it. But he will be on the field. He's declared it flat out. I am playing. So, you know, whether he takes a shot there and is unable to play, that could knock him to the sidelines. But his plan is to go.
All right, John, who are you taking tonight?
Oh, boy, this is going to be close. I think the Ravens are pretty tough at home. I think they win this game like 27-24.
All right, he's John Eisenberg. You can check him out at Ravens.com. John, thanks so much for taking the time.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks, John.
Thank you, John.
All right, John Eisenberg joining us here.
Close game, Donuts, another prediction.
Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. So he's with Paul. He is also taking the Baltimore Ravens. Andy and I over here taking the New England Patriots.
I've yet to hear anybody take a game that's more than like 4 points separating the two teams.
Well, I did, but I mean, it's still touchdown. 24-16 was my pick. But
that's a blowout.
Blowout, touchdown game. That was very Fred-like right there by you. No, easy. You know, easy. Like, remember the 27-21 game we beat them when Mark Clayton dropped the ball at the 3-yard line? I told you we'd beat him easy, Fred says afterwards. It wasn't that close.
I said, Fred, if he caught
the ball, we would have had to stop him 4 plays from the 3. It wasn't that close. He said, we had it all the way.
Wasn't that long ago you'd be predicting a 2-score game? 2-point conversion hasn't been around that long.
20 years, but okay.
It's been 20 years in the NFL?
About.
So we'll take your thoughts on this one,
as you
said. 508-298.
Bill Belichick ran the first successful 2-point conversion in his stint as the Browns coach. Wow. So it was early 90s.
It's a good nugget.
I am getting old.
It's a good nugget right there.
Tom Tupa.
If it's right.
That's true as well. 508-298-0398. That's
Fat
the
Tony gave
hotline.
Me the nod, as I was saying.
You
it,
can
so
email
I know
us,
I'm right.
webradiopatriots.com. Speaking of Fat Tony, we've been talking about his sausage just all here in the studio. We can't get enough of it.
We want to
welcome Fat Tony into the program here.
I'm new to this. Why are you all picking on me so quick? I was just going to pay a big compliment. Like, the NFL IQ in this room is overwhelming. Like,
NFL IQ high, regular IQ low.
right. Correct.
The actual IQ not
and politically
not
correctness
so high.
Even terrible. Lower.
But we're welcoming you in here to the program. How do you look at this thing shaking out tonight with the Patriots and Ravens?
Well, if the Patriots' offensive line can play better than they have been playing, I think if they can keep Tom upright and not get him hurt or get him flustered, because you know he doesn't like the rush, he's starting to look at it the older he gets, I think they might have a shot. I like the defensive side of the ball because I always like the defensive side of the ball. I think Chandler and those guys have kind of a mad dog attitude, and it's nice to see. So I think they're bailing the secondary out. I don't see a lot of improvement in the secondary. You guys might disagree.
No, I don't.
Not really.
I'm just a fan looking at it on TV. But I think that the defensive line bails them out a lot, and I can't believe Gaskowski missed that wide
open. Neither can he.
I think Ravens fans know how that feeling goes from watching the AFC Championship game last year. I want to take an email here. Going into webradio@patriots.com. Since we got Fat Tony on the program, Nick writes in that he's got an idea for a game. It's basically over-unders. He said, I and Matt can play. We're going to knock Matt right out, and we're going to bring Fat Tony in here for over-unders. So here's a simple over-under.
I'll knock you out.
Well, we can knock me out as well.
Why don't we knock both of you out? Just do Paul, Indy, and Fat Tony.
Let's do the three of you. That sounds good. That sounds good. Brady passing yards tonight against that Baltimore Ravens defense. Over-under 300 yards.
Under.
Come on, Tony.
Over.
Over.
Yeah.
I will say this. If it is over, it will be a very bad sign for the Patriots. It'll be like last week where they had a thrower be down, and that's why he got 300 yards.
So we got you guys are both unders. Fat Tony with the over here.
FT.
Brady rushing touchdowns.
What'd you say FT?
FT.
He's now calling himself FT over
here. It's like,
here.
You know, he takes after
he's a radio personality. What do you want me to do?
It's like taking after Damon
Amendola.
I'm looking
at Kevin. Yeah. He's telling me what to do. Make sure you get on the mic, turn the mic on, check things. Yeah.
You mean KC there in the other room?
KC.
Brady rushing touchdowns over under one.
Under.
Under.
I have to agree with the football gods.
Last time he had a rushing touchdown against this team, they almost broke his back.
Clean
sweep. I
wouldn't
do that again.
Clean sweep.
That is to the Super Bowl, bud.
On our distinguished panel here. Clean sweep on all three, under. Welker catches, over, under, eight.
Over. Let's go, FT. What you got?
I'm going to say under.
Did he just step on my mic time?
He stepped on
my mic time. Paul Perillo stepped on the new guy's mic time. I can't believe it.
FT.
He pointed at me.
No,
I was just going
FT,
by.
Though.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
That's right.
He pointed at me.
My arms just kind of, I'm half Italian, my arms just kind of go all over the place.
I'm just going to go on. I'm going to go under based on what Baltimore generally does to Wes Welker.
And I'm sorry, Andy, you were over.
I was over.
So, Andy, feeling pretty good about Welker's role here tonight.
FT didn't get the answer.
Wait a second. Was it over under eight?
Over under
Welker?
Eight.
I don't even know if
under.
He's going to play. So, is there I think he's going to get under eight.
You know
under
what I like?
Eight.
Fat Tony's got a little sarcasm in him.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. I
like
it.
I'm holding it back with you, Paul.
No, I like it.
I really am.
Why? Because I can't sense sarcasm?
I know nothing
I see
about
what you're doing there.
Point.
I see what you're doing there. I'm not happy with that.
All right, let's have FT kick this one off here.
All right.
Lloyd touchdowns, over under two.
Oh, God. I hope he gets. Do I have to go over under, or can I pick two?
Push.
That would be a push.
You can say push.
Wow. Is that gambling? I don't know. I'll just be safe. Under.
I'll take the under, too. Especially since we're not even sure he's going to play.
It's a good point. No,
if he's nicked up and...
I'm going to say under. Sorry to step on your time here, guys. There was a tweet that went out that after his workout with the medical staff, the medical staff and McDaniels and Lloyd met. McDaniels went jogging away, gave a little fist pump, big smile on his face.
Gave a thumbs up to Jim Whalen after speaking to
But how do we
Lloyd.
Know how do we know which way that goes? Maybe it's because he's out.
Want him to play.
Thank God.
You
know? I don't have to force feed him the
ball. No, I can really go to Edelman all the time.
We have to keep forcing him bubble screens underneath. Maybe that's what he was giving the fist pump.
Maybe
about.
We can incorporate Greg Salas off the practice squad.
They brought him back.
Let's get OO out on the field. This one is a bit ambiguous. Defensive big plays
over
under three.
Over. Since I get to decide what a big play is.
Yeah, I mean I got to go over on that. I mean, a big
tackle
play.
For a loss,
yeah.
A sack, an interception, a forced fumble, a big hit. Boom. Over.
If he's talking turnovers, I'll say under. But
define big play however you'd like to define it.
I agree with Andy. I mean, the first play of the game, you hand it off to Ray Rice for minus two. That's a big play
right.
For me, defensively. That's what you're looking for. I'm going to say over three, Fat Tony.
I agree with Paul.
Fat Tony.
It's the way to go.
When to make in, up. When he, in I doubt, think his feelings are hurt.
When in doubt, agree with Paul.
Just so fat you know, guy love over there.
Andy will tell you. Paul's feelings have never hurt.
Okay, good.
Over under. Times Paul wishes O'Brien was offensive coordinator. We got seven.
Oh, I'll take the under. No, he doesn't hate Josh that much.
I love Josh. That's the thing. Yeah. I love O'Brien, too. But, yeah, I'm going way under on that.
Oh, wow. The tweets are coming in. Mark and Cheddar. Drop PFW Eric for more FT time.
get a little FT.
Your
who
bar
was, who was that?
Fat Tony, you
that?
Need to stay in,
that
by
was,
the way,
Mark
for the
Cheddar.
Eric. When Eric comes on the line, you need to stay in.
Can I stay?
I generally take that segment off, so you need to.
I'll
pick
fill
up
your
slack
seat.
On that.
Can I sit in your seat?
Well, let's not get Mickley irregular.
I want one of those cool brown things on the microphone. That's what I want. I don't have one, by the way. Is this clean? I'm gonna pull a Felger
That's
and clean
Eric's.
Everything in the
That's
room.
That's Eric's. And you don't know where his mouth has been.
Actually, you do. Nowhere near a girl or anybody else.
All right, let's move on.
Let's move on.
I'm the uncomfortable host who used to work for ESPN.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop picking my nose pretty soon, too.
Times Andy mentions the Sanders touchdown. Every time someone brings up the defense, that's the over-under.
I'm just saying, we could use players like that around here. Make plays. Pick six. Scoop and scores. Jimmy. Remember that Indy game a couple years ago? Made that big play?
No. Oh, the interception.
Yes.
No, sorry. I thought you meant touchdown. I was like,
that's
no,
a championship play by a championship
that.
Player.
I didn't.
And then they cut him.
I didn't recall that.
And Bill didn't want him anymore.
But you can get in touch with us here, 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline, or email us, webradio@patriots.com. We'll get back to the emails momentarily, but let's head back over to the Poll Center. I'm Matt LePan.
Well, this isn't necessarily a poll, but I just want to give a little. No, I want to give a shout out to Fat Tony. FT, our first official fan club to be live in studio. First ever in the about year and a
And you should
quarter.
Probably tell everyone what fan club he's representing.
He is the Water Buffalo Tailgate Club. Right. And Fat Tony actually has some stuff he would like to say about Tailgate Club. So we're going to go to him. They're a great club. They do a lot of charity.
We're
going
to go back over to the regular studio where Fat Tony is.
Out of the Poll Center and back to Fat Tony.
Matt, you could have stretched that out a little bit longer.
He's prepping. He's got to get his notes together over here.
I don't have any notes.
But more of that sarcasm I was talking about earlier, right there. See, I picked up on it.
Well, he knows I'm very nervous. I threw up in my mouth a couple of times. Like Bill does. But, yeah, so we're a tailgating club, but we have a really, really cool concept. We generally don't tailgate before the games. What we do is, I don't know if you guys know, but around the outside of the stadium, not outside, but on the levels, the outside stands are run by nonprofit organizations.
Right.
And the Crafts have a really nice setup where you come in, you work. I'd rather work for your money. But they work for their money, and they get a percentage. So we come in. The group started by coming in and helping different groups do the volunteer work. And then we decided we didn't want to wait for 3 hours after the game, so we started to tailgate. And when we started to tailgate, we pooled a little bit of money. At the end of the season, we said, what are we going to do with this extra money? Well, we can go spend it at the bowling alley or buy beers with it. Why don't we give it to the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute? That was the first thing that popped into mind because it was the biggest thing we could think about. Mm-hmm. And so we gave some money. Not a lot, but we gave a little money. And it kind of started a tradition. So we come here, help out in the stadium, and then afterwards go outside and tailgate. And there's about 15 of us who are regularly coming out there. And they're people from the concession stands. They're people who are employees here. You guys could come out sometime if you really wanted to, because you're really big stars, and I think you could get right out to us. Right out to us. So what we do is that's what we do. And we work with some vendors that are very generous, and they donate things like the sausage from the sausage guy. Plug.
Those are good.
Yeah. And pies on ovens. We cook pizza on the lot, which is kind of cool. So we're getting a lot of attention. So some of the people that we're dealing with now are just people, fans, coming out after the game. And nice. They come by. You know, they're here late. They're at one of the many establishments around here, and they come over late. And so it's working out pretty well.
This is traditionally how you guys eat at these things?
Well, it gets a little
Fest? Little
yeah,
sausage fest.
This keeps making me really nervous when you refer to it like that. It definitely is.
There's
one.
No
but
ladies
we should bring
in this
some
club?
Women in this room every once in a while. It's well, starting Paul, to smell like
Paul
coffee.
Eric,
here.
He can use his extensive contact list. So he can get everybody over.
Extensive contact list.
If people wanted to get involved with you guys, do you guys have a website or a way they could get in touch?
We have a website. If you go to if you Google us, just Google WBTC.
WBTC.
Right, everybody, Google WBTC, and the first name that's going to come up is our club. We do it through a thing called Club Spaces, which is free because we run very lean. The money that we generate, mm-hmm. we want to give away.
Right.
So we do that, and we have a Facebook page. So if anybody wants to come and like us or fan us, Paul,
yeah,
that would
Paul,
be really good
you're
for
You're on
us.
Facebook, so do it.
right? You could do it, right? Do I have your commitment now, Mr. President?
You send it to me.
I just Googled that, and a giant sausage popped up on my screen, so I'm going to
It's not the first time.
There will be no comments from behind the glass, please.
You already had that bookmark, though. Just send it.
Send me a shout on Facebook.
I'll be glad to.
WBTC. Just Google WBTC.
And you'll get the Facebook and the web page. It's a good situation because, like I said, we want to do everything. I don't want to say on the cheap, but on the skinny.
No, it's well done.
We do a lot of different things. It changes. We try to do, like last week, we did something for the Cardinals, but we threw it all away after they won. That was really a good ceremony, by the way. That was really good, throwing the stuff away. But some of the food that's left over, we donate to a homeless shelter in Boston because we do get most of it donated to us.
Right.
So it works out really well.
This is awesome.
There's a couple of things that we're expanding into, if you guys could just one more minute.
Sure.
We're doing some special events. We have a special events coordinator who handles outside tailgate stuff. So we're doing a time. I'm from South Boston, so we always do times. And that's to raise money to fight juvenile diabetes. And it's on October 6th, and it's at the Quincy Knights of Columbus. And if you go to the Facebook page, you can check it out. We just lost a member of the club in July to diabetes, and it's a terrible disease. So we're trying to do something in her memory. Also, the end of the year, we have a Toys for Tots drive in December where we generate some toys here. But last year, we raised a couple grand and about 800 toys for the Toys for Tots.
Awesome.
And donated some money to a local animal shelter because it was Christmas time and puppies were ahead in everybody's mind. So,
yeah.
So those are a couple of outside events that we're doing. But people can get a lot more information if they just go to Facebook or the website.
And what is the Facebook site?
It's Water Buffalo Tailgating Club.
Okay,
that's the
so
page. Yep.
Search it.
Also, if you go to patriots.com, you go into Fan Zone.
It's right on there.
The Fan Club Registry, it has his website, it has his Facebook page, and it has his official Fan Club seal.
Yes.
That Fat Tony has up there, so you can find it that way as well.
Right, and it's a fan club and a tailgating club with a purpose, all for good.
Yes,
tailgating
for a cause.
Well, Fat Tony,
plus you got a nice sausage. I like your sausage.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
It's an excellent cause, and thanks so much for helping us out with the meal tonight and joining us here in studio. And again, if you want to check out the website, WBTC.com, just punch it in. Facebook page will pop up, and
good
you can check out the
Tony.
Website as well. We'll get to your phone calls, 508-298-0398. Your emails go to webradio@patriots.com. Matt LePam, we have an actives here.
We have an actives up, and a picture tweeted out from
This is their
Patriots.
New thing. I like it.
Twitter's
so much faster.
Dennard, Dederick, Beckett, Francis, Hernandez, Vereen, and McDonald for the Patriots.
Shane Vereen. You know what road he's going down? Taylor Price way.
All right, so one more time here. Hernandez, Francis, Dederick, Dennard,
he is.
Beckett.
I'm sick of saying Vereen's going to break out at some point.
Hernandez, Francis, Dederick, Dennard, Beckett, Vereen, McDonald. We'll get the analysis from Andy and Paul. That's coming up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pat's tight end and big-time Dunkin' fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football.
and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Have a hot take on today's game? Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to Adam, Paul, and Andy broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium.
Hour number two of the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Adam Jones alongside Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and FT, Fat Tony. Got an email here, webradio@patriots.com from WCC. Like Cowbell, make Fat Tony a PPGS regular.
There are way too many letters being thrown around. WCC likes FT for the PPG. I mean,
we need more Cowbell.
I used a little more Cowbell. I got to have more Cowbell.
He wrote in.
CB.
F. Scalvino, unrelated but always relevant, is what WCC writes in to webradio at patriots.com. And we'll take your thoughts there. Also, your phone calls, 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline. But before we get to those guys, we found out, we already knew four inactives, but we found out Nick McDonald inactive for this one, also along with Dennard, Dederick. And who else did
so
we know?
So you Vereen. Forgot, so I forgot the inactives, didn't you?
Vereen.
Yeah, McDonald, Vereen, and Beckett with the three we did.
Along
know.
With Francis, Dederick, Dennard, and Hernandez, who we knew from last
Correct.
Night. So what's the takeaway there?
Well, the positive takeaway is that Logan Mankins and Brandon Lloyd are playing. Logan Mankins is probably healthy or somewhat healthy. You know, you go in now with Conley, and Thomas can be your backup. You didn't need to have the extra McDonald active. You know, getting Brandon Lloyd out there, that's great. Now, what Marcus Forston active for the first time, just for poops and giggles. But the negative side of that, I can't say the other word. Okay, don't laugh at me.
I'm never really sure what we can say on this.
Don't,
I never really know what we're allowed to say.
Because he will.
I just kind of nod blindly.
Now, the negative side, as I started to rant before we went to the break, is Shane Vereen. You know, we're now a year and 3 weeks in. And when is he going to be healthy? When is he going to be ready to make an impact on this team? And don't give me, well, Ridley's your back. Well, you know what? I don't really like Danny Woodhead. And I'd like to see Shane Vereen get some touches.
Yeah,
so
and I wonder,
I'm not taking anything away from Ridley. I want Vereen to be out there and make some plays.
To your point, too, Andy, I wonder if this is still a health problem. too with him. We know he's on the injury report, and he's practicing.
Either way, I don't care. I'm going down
the road.
Vereen's career in New England is never going
to
happen.
To me, it could be even worse, though, if he's healthy and they just don't have a need for him. They don't find it necessary to have him in the lineup. I agree with you. It's
he's three houses down on Taylor Price Way. And I will go the same thing, a guy who maybe not quite as far, maybe he's
maybe
got
not.
His blinker on thinking about turning down Taylor Price Way, is Jake Beckett. You know, I thought this guy might have a chance to be an impact pass rusher, a guy who just did one thing. We drafted him to do one thing, and since he's been here, he's never done that thing at all. I didn't have a lot of faith that this guy would develop into, like, anything over his career other than a situational guy, but I'm not really liking it that he's not active. It's very annoying when this guy keeps talking. I'm getting fantasy updates in my ear for unbeknownst reason to me.
It's unbelievable.
Crab cakes is dead.
It was another injury, by the way. It was another injury that he's taking delight in back there. He being Kevin Collins. What do we take away with McDonald being inactive, rather? Are we saying that Conley should be out there, should
be
fully healthy?
Starts,
yeah,
Mankins
and
starts.
And Mankins is probably okay, too. Like Andy said, I think that makes a lot of sense. Now, last week we made a mention that McDonald being active was probably an indication that maybe they weren't 100% certain that Conley would be able to go, and then we saw that Donald Thomas ended up starting the game.
All right, so we're about an hour away from kickoff here between the Patriots and Ravens.
As Pat Tony shakes his head about that Donald Thomas comment.
About an hour away from kickoff between Patriots and Ravens here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's hit some of these phone calls. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Nick's in San Diego, and you'll kick off the hour here on Patriots.com. Hey, Nick.
Captain Sunshine.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Nick.
You know, Andy, I think you're getting on Jake Beckett a little bit too early here, don't you?
I do think I am, but it's probably...
I actually think that's
fair, but it's partially because of my own expectations for him. I thought there was a chance he would come in, and way back when, in the spring, like May, first week of May, I thought there was a chance he might have a bigger impact initially than Chandler Jones, because I was worried that Jones was a little raw, a little young, and this is a guy that in the SEC... had multiple 10-sack seasons, was a two-time, I believe, captain of his defense, who called the plays for his defense. I just thought this football IQ and production at a high level might have him ready to contribute right away, and clearly I was way off base with that.
Yeah, it's a little bit of high hopes there then.
Very high hopes.
The thing about it, Nick, that is kind of interesting is we really haven't seen him get any chance to do anything. You know, we watch
like the fourth quarter of one preseason game.
Sure,
right.
The
but
first
even
one,
but I'm even maybe? Talking about in practice. You know, during Nothing. Training camp, we have about 20-25 practices to watch. Pretty much every rep, he didn't take a substantial rep.
Nope.
In practice,
never flashed.
Never really showed up. And I was not anywhere near as high on Beckett coming out of the draft as Eric especially, but even Andy I think was high. No, Eric was really high on Jake Beckett.
And Kevin O'Connor.
I thought he was a limited guy that was an overachiever in college.
Me too. Sometimes
those guys to me.
But I thought his limited thing would be what he could do right away. His limitation apparently is getting on the field, being active, wearing a uniform.
Nick, how do you feel about this thing tonight, this game, Patriots and Ravens?
This thing
that's going on this evening?
Yep. Well, little match tonight in Baltimore.
Now, were you happy to read Greg Bedard's story about other teams thinking the Patriots were getting ready to trade Welker? That must have been right up your alley.
I saw that one coming. There was a couple stories on it. You know, I didn't really consider it because they're all just rumors at this point. But if it happened, you know, I'm not happy about it, but it would just prove me right. I don't want to see Wes Welker go. I mean, who does? He's been productive for this team for, you know, years now. But, you know, what I was actually calling it, now that I'm done getting your goat, Andy, I'm trying to figure out what the biggest threat to us is going to be this evening. Is it going to be on the offensive side, Ray Rice and Joe Flacco, or are we more worried about, you know, what they're going to prove to Brady on defense? Is it going to be maybe Haloti Ngata, Ed Reed, something like that? What do you guys think?
I think it's the Ravens offense, Ramel Rice.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I know what the Patriots offense is. I know it's going to be in a dogfight.
Do you?
Oh, I do. I think
against
I know
this
what
team,
they are.
Know?
Compared to the defense?
No, I'm just talking about against this defense have Brady's number.
No,
do we know what they're going to do?
Yeah, that's my point. I don't think you're going to get 35 or 40 points out of Brady.
I
also don't think you're going to get three. I think you're going to get somewhere between 14 and 24 points out of Brady.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make some plays and struggle some. Now, we have a defense that some people think, I mean, I saw a note today, like, I forgot who it was, but somebody's facing, you know, the top three defenses in the NFL in the next 3 weeks, Patriots, Chargers, something. And I'm thinking, yeah. The stats may say that, but are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah.
They shut down
Chargers
a running back who shuts down himself.
To earth today too.
So, I mean, I have no idea what this Patriots defense is. I want to believe. I want to, you know, I'm like FT over here. I want to believe these young linebackers are legit and Chandler Jones is legit.
Did they show you that last week?
No. Against a team that has no quarterback, no offensive line, and no talent at any position other than wide receiver named Larry Fitzgerald.
So can you learn something tonight?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
They have two receivers. They have two tight ends. They have a decent quarterback. And they have a very
And one of the best running backs
running
in the
back.
League.
And a pretty good offensive yeah. line,
In other
right?
words, you can't shut down one guy tonight and shut down the offense the way they have in the first
I'll tell you what they can tell me. They can shut me up with a big performance tonight. And then I'll say, that's a damn good defense.
So we can crumple
up.
We can crumple up the storyline, you know, with the defense. If they thrive tonight and look at like they have the first couple of weeks, you count Joe Flacco. You're not going to lump in Flacco with Cobb
no.
and with Locker. Okay.
Are you freaking kidding me?
I'm just asking because people will
the
do
The only
it.
Moron I've ever heard that doesn't respect Joe Flacco is Michael Felger.
To
who
that
called him
to
borderline
that
stiff. I mean, the guy
I actually
is a
heard
very
Mike Felger.
Good quarterback.
I actually heard Mike Felger today on Friday mm-hmm. blamed Lee Evans's drop touchdown for the AFC Championship on
yeah,
the throw.
Ridiculous.
Give
he said
me
it was
a break.
The throw. The guy's a clown. So I mean anybody
Give
who does
he could have put it out there. It's down on the list, but he could have put it out there. He hit him in the hands, he caught it, took two steps and still dropped it.
Just,
and he puts it on the quarterback.
I just want to know. So that's good to hear. So
no,
if we see it out
bad.
Of the defense.
All right, see you, Nick. You got a good discussion going here though. That was a good question. That elicited a good discussion.
I didn't know he was still on the line. I
didn't either.
Do you guys think 24 points gets them a win, though, against Baltimore?
Maybe. Depends.
Well, I think
if I'm buying the defense, then sure, because the defense is great. If they,
I think 24 could very easily be the winning number tonight. Yes, I do. If the Patriots get 24, I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, I think they're strong at
FT.
24.
I have the Ravens winning the game with 24, so certainly if the Patriots get there, yeah.
It'll be a tie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless Belichick executes yet another two-point convert. Did you know that Bill Belichick was the first person ever to go for two?
I don't know,
you
know that. I don't know why
that.
You're scoffing at me.
Did you know that?
I've heard that.
It was a fake, and Tom Tupa ended up running it in.
First one ever.
Tom
something you learn.
Tupa.
Oh, you're listening here to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Check the emails.
I just thought it was common knowledge.
Weber Radio at Patriots.com. Our buddy James writes in. Guys, question for you.
You know it's going to be wrong now.
What round would you trade for Ray Lewis? At this point in his career, what round pick, rather, would you trade for Ray Lewis at this point in his career?
Nothing.
Fifth tops.
What am I
Sixth,
trading
seventh?
For? I mean,
yeah.
I'm excited about the three young linebackers, assuming they stay on the... Now, I'm not saying, Brent, why are you looking
not
at me?
I just thought you said that they weren't a real strong defense.
No. I don't believe they are yet. I think they need to prove themselves. But I am as excited about the SECD, my three SEC linebackers who are big, fast, and mean.
Yes.
I am very excited.
The mean.
And I'm not saying that Brandon Spikes is better than Ray Lewis by any means, but I'll take the guy in year three who I might be developing into a good, solid linebacker in this core. So, I mean, I'd be trading for Ray Lewis to be a backup and to be an inspirational guy and an emergency guy. So, yeah, I'm not giving up much for him.
Paul? Nothing?
Yeah, no, very late round pick at most. And if you're going to say specifically the Patriots... Andy just said
Now, the question didn't say that, but,
no,
you know.
No, I'm saying if you
I thought I was thinking.
If it's for the Patriots, Andy just, you know, unfolded the whole situation perfectly. If it's for anybody, I mean, seriously, I mean, listen, I've come completely around on Ray Lewis. Have tremendous respect for him, but he's 37. You know, what are you going to take for him? Maybe a sixth or seventh round pick. Yeah, he's way too much participation, in, you know. He's just completely throwing the whole show off kilter.
Yes,
but
us.
We can
it's
hear it in the middle
us
of
for
trying
no
to
reason.
Make points.
If you have legitimate show things to say in somebody's ear, say it. But if it's your stupid fantasy football team
yeah,
or your
I mean,
stupid non-witty comments.
If he was throwing stuff, why does it seem like my mic goes in and out every time you do that, too?
Because you hear him, you don't hear yourself. It's very annoying. It's ruining the show, which is not what producers are supposed to do. But we have the lamest half-assed producer on the planet.
I mean, if it was something, you know, to do with the show, like, you know, he had some information on the
right.
Patriots game, fine. But all I'm getting is lame fantasy football
right.
updates.
No, we spent half the show talking about Tom Tupa. So
Matt Schaub's done.
Matt Schaub is hurt.
He's dead. Hayward Bay's dead.
Darius Hayward Bay dead.
I got to talk to
And by the way, you know, another one. It was another laugh,
Bruce.
Right? Well, that was a good, what, 10, 15 minutes ago. I want you to turn around, Adam,
yeah.
and see. This is what he thinks
is funny.
The stretcher's
on the field.
This is what he finds funny. That's that's Hayward Bay right there they're attending to.
They're still looking at him?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
He thinks it's funny.
I didn't laugh at that one.
Yes, you did.
Just said he was dead.
And he might be.
All right, so I laughed at that. LePan, while you're in, let's go back over to the poll center. What do you got?
All right,
let him run back to the poll center.
Yeah, run, jog back over there.
So, results for the first one stayed about the same. Wes Welker finished with 50% of the vote. Rob Gronkowski, 32% for who will lead the Patriots in receptions tonight. New polls up. How many points will the Patriots score tonight? 0-6, 7-13, 14-20, 21-27, 28-34, 35+.
21-27 is the answer.
What do you got, Pat Tony?
I agree.
He thinks 24.
24 right. Wins it.
30. Is that your Eric impression?
Magic number. No, I do it every 21 time. 21 to
27. It's actually my 56%. Kevin Collins impression. Carolina is the right answer.
Oh, the right answer is clearly not 21-27, because he's always wrong, because he's a Dumas.
What's your range over there, Paul? We got Fat Tony and
24.
Andy at 21-27. That's your spot on number.
Paul says 24 wins this game.
24 wins the game. How many do I think the Patriots are going to have tonight? 16. I think the Patriots end up with 16. So what's the range
he has predicting 16. A loss?
He gets so mad when other teams get plays, right? Too.
This is from the guy, by the way. Who in 2005, when we lost to Denver in the playoffs, he picked Denver in that game, which is fine. I mean, listen, sometimes we pick the other team.
I picked a home team in the playoffs. I mean, God.
No. There was nothing wrong with the pick, and there was nothing wrong with your logic.
And what happened with the pick,
but
Paul?
Then he says,
it's just wrong.
I don't care. I'd rather have my pick be right than the Patriots win. And I'm the guy who's negative.
You know what? That's the curse of fantasy football.
See, I'm sure. No, I just like to be right.
That is the curse of fantasy football.
And in all seriousness, Tony, that is the main reason I don't play.
I don't either.
Well, then you shouldn't make predictions. That doesn't. I mean, then don't make any predictions.
No. But in fantasy football, if you have all your guys and they're playing against the team that you want to win,
this was totally independent of fantasy football. This is just a prediction in a playoff game.
No, that's different. No, that was to point out the fact that he doesn't really want the Patriots to win. He wants his thoughts and opinions to be correct all the time. You know, whereas most people
gotta look out for number one.
You know, like Jeff in Vegas said, I hope I'm wrong, but you know, the play tonight is the Ravens and the under. I hope I'm wrong. Andy said, I hope I'm right.
Right.
I like being right rather than the Patriots.
In an unprecedented statement on Patriots.com radio, he said, I hope the Patriots lose.
And Patriots fans everywhere were just crushed.
I didn't say I hope the Patriots
you
lose.
You did. I want
to be right. Collateral damage of me being right was the Patriots losing a playoff game.
Every time I bring that up, Andy laughs.
Yeah, you know, look, I sort
and
of.
And by the way.
I know where you're coming from on this.
By the way, Pac-Man.
Yeah.
He was right.
Yeah.
As you were last week.
You were not rooting for a Patriots blowout last week, right? You were clearly not rooting for a Patriots blowout.
No, I wanted
blowout.
The Patriots to win, but by less than 13.5.
So you kind of know how it works.
Yeah.
We get the thumbs up from Hayward Bay, by the way.
So he's not
getting strapped.
He's just a paraplegic, not a quadriplegic.
I was rooting very hard for the under, still to be right, but I wasn't rooting against the Patriots.
Right, but you get my point.
Webradio@patriots.com is where the emails go.
Really gone off the rails.
John in South Carolina writes in, guys, looking at the game last week, the problems I saw was our blocking at the point of attack and the lack of ability of our receivers to get open. That's all. I know they can get open against the Ravens.
We lost at the point of the attack, and we can't get open. That's it.
I know they can get open, and they have in the past against Baltimore. I don't know if the offensive line can hold their own at the point of attack, however. If they can, they win easy. I just cannot see our line being that bad 2 weeks in a row or Dante allowing our offensive line to suck. We win by 13 in a game that exposes the Ravens' run defense on the edge. And again, that's John in South Carolina.
I think there's some truth to the exposing of the Ravens' run defense. I talked about that earlier in the show, and I do think that's an area the Patriots may be able to exploit.
Ridley. I mean, it's nice to be able to go into a game thinking they could actually run the ball 20-plus times with one guy.
And I think it's interesting. I want to get FT's thoughts on this, going with your radio name, because last week we spent a lot of time and a decent amount of time
about his radio name's FT.
Yeah,
is Fat Tony?
It's your radio.
Certainly not his birth name.
It's your radio personality. No, birth certificate just says Fat Tony. But we spent a lot of time.
Like the guy in Baltimore goes by J. Michael. Anybody in the Baltimore area, I need some
info. Yeah, but you worked out on that one.
I did.
Had to listen to 8 minutes of that guy blathering on. 8 minutes and 21 seconds. I'm looking at the computer falling asleep.
It would have been a little unprofessional to ask a guy to call out a coworker.
I'll never be back again. I'll never talk to him.
That's a good point. You could have.
Oh, that guy's
but I would like somebody, if they're in the Baltimore area and know something about J. Michael, this clown who doesn't use a last name, thinks he's like Prince of the media, whatever. I need to know what the deal is with him. Okay, go ahead.
I've lost my train of thought. Oh, talking about the running game going into last week, because a lot of it was, oh, well, now are the Patriots going to be rededicated to running the football with Stephen Ridley's week against the Tennessee Titans? FT, what do you think? You want to see more running after what went down last week?
Well, if the guys can hold the point of attack, then we'll be good. Like, if you make holes, the running backs need to run downhill.
So, but are you committed to it? Remember the old Patriots? You know, run, son of a bitch, it's not there. We're done running. We're going to spread them.
No, you're right.
Spread them and shred them.
I think Josh is stubborn enough and has enough autonomy from Bill that if he wants to run the ball, he's going to run the ball. But he needs to pick the right personnel to run the ball. His situational play call, running to the right side. Why don't you run the Gronk side with Solder, and Solder's getting better every week. His footwork's better. Everything is better. His handwork is good. I mean, it's getting better. Why do you run to the right side when you can simply run to the left side over the beasts? Like,
not a terrible
I didn't
point.
Get that. Like,
if I can line up Gronk, Solder,
that, by
and
the way,
Mankins.
That's the best compliment you're going to get from Andy.
Well,
not a terrible point.
It's a good compliment. Point.
But no, Tony's that. Right, and that was part of the problem I had with some of those plays. It was like, are we trying to just win a matchup, or are we just trying to trick someone, you know, with the third down runs? And not only that, but we're not going to run behind Gronk because they'll be expecting that. You know, that's sometimes I think we do a little too much of that. Sometimes.
We're trending away from that. We're trending away from outsmarting, outthinking to a little more just line up and run the ball. We got a fullback here. We got a tight end in here. We're going to line up and run the football. There's two tight ends over here. Guess what? We're running over here.
You brought up something I think is very important, too, though, is when push comes to shove, will they stay with it? You know, if they get 15 carries for, you know, 40 yards, will they keep running it another 15 times if they need to?
And even more so with Ridley, because some of those are negatives, minus 2 yards. To get your 15-yard run or your 17-yard run,
yeah,
he's got a little
more
bit of that.
The play call, like
I think part of it.
2 yard loss was like.
Well,
bad.
Some of it is yeah, but some of it is, you know, Benny didn't have a lot of losses. I mean, there's certain guys that are going to take that no gain, and then there's other guys that, and I'm not putting him in Lawrence Maroney's class where he's trying to hit a big play every time, but he's somewhere in between, and he's already shown the tendency to have tackles for a loss, no gain, you know, minus two. You know, we were joking. Hey, he's Barry Sanders. He goes minus two, and then he goes 17. He's not exactly Barry Sanders yet.
Just going back to a thought that you brought up a few moments ago, being more physical. Four tight ends are active tonight, if I'm not mistaken, with Fells being active as well as Winslow.
Yeah. Oh, so, Manawanui, too,
so
right?
What do we? Yeah, I just steer clear of that one. So what do we
you
do?
You sing it. If you say, Manawanui, it just rolls off
right.
the tongue.
Exactly.
Pretty soon it'll start whistling.
So with those four tight ends active for tonight, how many two tight ends do we expect to see, or two tight end sets do we expect to see against these three, potentially four wide receiver sets?
Sounds like a math question.
I think you're going to get predominantly two tight ends on the field.
Leaving Baltimore at any one time.
I think, seriously, I think that they're 100% of the time. They're in two tight ends. Now, they could add and make it a three tight end set if they so choose. I think they did,
You think they'll be in two tight ends 100% of the time tonight again? No. I'm not saying it has to be 100, but you think 90?
Yeah, predominantly, yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I do. And it won't
it's interesting because you think differently.
It now, won't always be Winslow. I don't think Winslow's going to go wire to wire.
I'd be absolutely stone cold stunned if Winslow
I think you'll see
that.
The other guys out there as
but
well. Especially if Fells is active now, you might as well play him.
Now, so you think it'll be personnel packages? Winslow's the pure receiver. Fells is the kind of the tweener. Manawanui's kind of the blocker, and Gronk has got a rotating cast around him?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'll see.
Do you not think so?
I don't know.
You don't know? You don't know what you think? You don't know if you have three wide receivers or two tight ends? Because I'm with Paul. I think two tight ends.
I don't think it'll be quite as
pronounced.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be quite up near that 90 or 100%. I think it might be a little bit
less. Here's what Andy and Paul will both come out after the game as winners, because regardless of what the number is, we're going to say, see, I told you it would be just about every play.
I told you.
And Andy will say, see, I told you it wouldn't be every play.
No, but and it's so hard to predict because they don't have a fullback anymore. So they may now make one of these guys the fullback in the I formation, and there's a few snaps there, and
that's a good distinction too, because I think we ought to, you know, just because they have another tight end on the field, he might not be playing tight end.
Right.
It's like when you go to the extra defensive backs.
Right. Winslow could be in the slot, or Manawanui could be the fullback, exactly, or the up back.
So there's a big difference, and if that's the way it's the second tight end is in the backfield a lot. that's not necessarily a two tight end set.
And speaking of the eye, just a real quick pet peeve for fans. Yeah, I'm not trying to be pompous football guy here or anything, but I've heard a lot of, well, the Patriots were in that power eye. No, they weren't. They were in an offset eye. There's a difference. The eye formation is fullback running back. Offset eye is the fullback set to one side or the other. A power eye is three running backs. There's a fullback and a running back in the eye with another fullback tackle tight end on either side, one side or the other. That makes it a power eye.
You don't see a whole lot of those in the
NFL. You do not. I'm not sure I've seen one in...
That's going back to like freshman football right there.
But I heard it a lot last week.
It's going back to my high school offense.
The first 2 weeks I heard people saying, you know, they had that power eye. Not once did I see a power eye for the Patriots. So just a little football terminology to...
Thank you.
I'll cross power eye off my
you didn't say it
out of my terminology.
And you don't
power
use eye, pro right? bowler I don't think so. And all pro synonymously, do you?
No, don't do that.
Because
no.
That's another pet peeve and a thief.
I will I'll make sure to cross that one out as well.
Power eye right.
We'll get your phone
lead.
Calls here. 508-298-0398. We'll take all your thoughts on the power eye, by the way, at the Ace Ticket Hotline, right. Or your emails to webradio@patriots.com. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We're obviously presented by Dunkin' Donuts. Let them make you a sandwich. Dunkin's turkey cheddar bacon and ham and cheese bakery sandwiches are made with care so you can enjoy life's simple pleasures. Get yours today. America runs on Dunkin'. Spent a lot of time talking about the offense. We'll flip things to the other side of the football and get these guys' thoughts on the defense coming up next here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social on Patriots.com.
Hey, it's Rob Gronkowski, Pats tight end and big-time Dunkin' fan. The secret to my success? Coach drew up a play called Gronk, run downfield, catch ball out of air, and we give you freshly made bakery sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. I say Coach is a genius.
No defense keeps Gronk from his freshly made bakery sandwiches. Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab your go-to sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots LLC.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Finally, a card for the real world.
Copyright 2012, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then, I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Hooked up, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call Star NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth.
Woo! Get inside the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Adam Jones, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now broadcasting live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Adam Jones.
Kickoff scheduled for 8:20 in Baltimore between the Patriots and Ravens. It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. We're taking you up to kickoff between the Pats and Ravens, each team looking to avoid being under 500. Paul referenced this earlier, but the Patriots haven't had a losing record since 2003 after that blowout game with Lawyer Malloy going to the other side. And Buffalo and the Patriots starting 0-1. That's the last time the Patriots were below 500. Mm-hmm. The Ravens haven't had a losing record since they were 2-3 in 2008. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, Patriots have the longest active streak of games played without a losing record, 145. The Ravens have the next longest at 61. No other teams in the NFL entering play today had more than 18. So it's pretty staggering what both these teams are doing, and one of them's going to be below 500 after this game tonight.
Maybe. And, unless they both get to 24, and then Paul says it'll be a tie.
That's true. Paul's been predicting tie all night over there. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Now Paul's like, wait a minute.
Predicting?
Now. Wait a minute.
Predicting? Not sure I'm predicting.
Emails come into webradio@patriots.com. That's where Dylan writes in. Guys, keys to the game. Brady needs to be decisive, step up, and make throws under pressure. Special teams needs to be... do not seem so special here through these first couple of weeks.
Oh, they seem special, but...
Offense needs better play calling. Defense needs to prove themselves. Don't really have a great feeling in this one, but you rarely do against the Ravens. I'm going Pats 27-24.
That special teams thing is interesting because obviously they had a hellacious week last week with a blocked punt and then the missed field goal, but they haven't been that good, just flat out good. Zoltan Mesko, I was predicting as a Pro Bowl season, has been pretty piss poor through the first 3 weeks.
Why are you laughing?
Just the way you said it.
He's got a net average of like 20 yards.
They did.
Oh, don't just blame it all on the block.
No, but he...
When you kick plus 50 and the ball gets downed at the 18, that also destroys your numbers.
He struggled.
He has not been good. Wow. The kick return game has not been good. You know, Devin McCourty was the secret weapon, except, you know, he's still a secret because he hasn't done anything. He's putting the ball at the 23 instead of the 20. I just think special teams has not been...
And
the Patriots side.
It's something that was clearly a priority in the preseason with drafting Nate Ebner and also bringing in Jeff Demps. By the way, speaking of Ebner, did you buy Belichick earlier this week saying, you know, it was a breakdown?
A lot of things.
It's just Ebner not being able to block, correct?
As far as I could tell.
Yeah.
Not even not be able to block.
Just getting empowered.
He didn't have the right timing down on. Now, maybe it was a slow snap. Maybe they have a, you know, I don't know the stopwatch thing. Maybe the snap was a hundredth of a second slower than it needs to be. And that kind of, maybe Ebner's count was right and it should have been gone by that. It didn't seem that way to me, but you know, it certainly looked like the wing just didn't have the block.
So I do find it interesting, though, with something that you spend so much time and resources theoretically trying to improve, the special team certainly hasn't been good. What do you make of Brady needing to be more decisive? Do you see it that way?
I think that is sort of in line with my whole he's anticipating pressure and it's kind of getting in his head. Yeah, then I do. I think we need a little bit of the old Tom who stands in the pocket, steps up and delivers the ball, isn't looking behind him because there might be a pass rusher to either side.
Or just outright diving down.
Because when he's doing that, you know where he's not looking? Downfield. Remember the old days of Brady, like on the 12-yard line, looking left, looking right, looking middle. Well, I'm going to look left again. Touchdown, David Givens. But, you know, boom, boom, boom. Nobody sees the field left to right like Brady. Now it seems like the only thing he sees are the guys who are coming at him, and he's kind of lost his distance focus on the receivers.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of timing stuff, and when the ball doesn't get out in rhythm, he's now looking at the rush. And I'll tell you one thing, Andy's been on this too. If he continues to run toward the line of scrimmage and stop abruptly the way he has maybe 2-3 times already, he's going to get lit up. Because you can get some big hits that you're not expecting. It's one thing
bringing
to
your momentum into the line. Yeah,
it's one thing to be sitting in the pocket. And I think when you get on your back, you know, on your back foot and ready to throw, you sort of know there's a chance that I can get hit here. But when you start moving around and you don't know there's a guy coming, that's when you can your body's not ready to really absorb that hit. And
you're opening it up to 360 degrees.
Yes.
When you're at the depth of your pocket, you know where it's coming from. It's coming from the edges and in front of you. And when you're running forward, you're moving away from anyone who's behind you. So even if they hit you, that blow is going to be lessened. You can see everybody in front of you. When you run up and then stop, well, now you have the potential from anyone in any direction hitting you. And I don't know if it's fear, but I don't understand the fear. I don't know why he wouldn't take the 4-yard run slide. No one's allowed to hit you. I'm not saying turn it to Michael Vick. Just if there's 4 yards there, take it, because the worst thing you can do is stop right before the line of scrimmage, because you're going to get killed.
Whatever he does, I do agree with that word, decisiveness. You know, if he decides he doesn't want to run, then decide you're not going to run. Don't go toward the line of scrimmage. If you don't want to run, throw it away. Live to fight another play. If you don't have any problem with running, then just, like as Andy said, just tuck it and slide. Get 2, 3, 4 yards, whatever it is.
One more thought here on Brady before we get back to the emails.
Let's rip the Hall of Fame quarterback
a little. No.
Yeah, obviously, no one's doing anything.
I've heard this throughout the course of the week, that Brady struggled with long balls, and I understand that the statistics back it up, deep balls, that he's been trying to get down the field. And do you think there's something to that? Is there an issue with Brady, or has it just been a statistical two-game anomaly?
Well, I don't think he's ever been good at it. I mean, when was he good at it? The only time he was good at it is when he had the greatest guy on the other end, yeah. Randy Moss.
But it didn't matter how accurate the throw was. He was pretty good at it.
Even then, he had like his do-overs, like the record setter in Giants Stadium that night.
Yeah.
He's just missed with Lloyd. I'm not 100% going to go all in on that's Brady's fault, because I don't know what Lloyd exactly was supposed to do, what page they're on there a little bit. And we've talked about this on PFJ in Progress about, you know, kind of throwing to the post. Is he running to the post? Did he flatten it out a little bit? Blah, blah, blah. But the one thing I had heard, and this I think I brought this up at the very end of a show, Paul, this week on PFJ in Progress, was this whole, you know, he's always going to overthrow the person, this whole idea that that's his own personal philosophy. He's always going to make them run under it and throw as far. You know, maybe that's a flawed philosophy. Maybe that's why he's never been good at the deep ball. I don't know, but you know, they've missed 3 deep balls that could have been massive with Gronkowski and 2 to Lloyd.
Checking the emails here, webradio at patriots.com. Subject line from Keith, grow some balls. Men play this game, and it's not for the weak-minded. The Pats will win this game. Remember, Tom Brady makes his money in games where everyone thinks he doesn't have a chance, and the Ravens do not play well when they're playing with high emotions. Remember, the 07 regular season game. If we run Ridley and keep the smallest jag in the game, a.k.a. Danny Woodhead, off the field on third down, we'll dominate this grandpa defense.
Jag.
And again, that's Keith in Dallas writing it. So, yeah, guys, grow some balls there.
You know what's a little overrated, this grandpa defense?
Well, that's certainly our guest said it was overrated.
No. I mean the age. Like, they're all old.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
who's old?
He explained how 3 starters got replaced with younger guys, and they're actually younger than they have been.
Right. So who's old? My question is, other than Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, who's really old? And we know Ray Lewis. The same thing happened with the Patriots a few years ago when everybody goes, oh, this is so old. And then you looked and they were playing a lot of young guys and you're like, they stink. You know, they're not that good, but they're playing younger guys. Like, I think the age is a little overrated here. They're either good or they're not. I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying they're the 2000 defense. But I think maybe the reason they're not that good is, A, their defensive player of the year is hurt. B, they've lost a couple guys that people thought, you know, weren't that valuable, that were valuable. And they're kind of retooling on the fly here and transitioning to what they are.
Yeah, I like how it takes balls to make a pick. I mean, what kind of balls does it take to pick the Patriots when you work for Patriots.com?
Tell you, take some balls to pick the Patriots to cover, or the Cardinals.
If you're going to try to make fun of us, you should probably get it right, Mr. Radio Man.
Just checking the emails. Webradio@Patriots.com.
Just checking the emails. I'm going to ignore that I just effed up. Sound like a moron.
You know, you just gotta, when you make a mistake, you just got to let them roll right off your back. I do that, you know, 10, 12 times a program. PJ writes in to Webradio@Patriots.com.
About 3 a.m. on the West Coast.
Guys, just a quick observation and a question. After watching the Eagles game last week, it seemed like the Ravens had trouble with an athletic tight end in Brent Celek. The general consensus from the quote-unquote experts was that Andy Reid went after an aging Ed Reed and Ray Lewis in pass coverage. Not to say they aren't great players, but they are slowing down a bit, and a young athletic tight end gives them trouble. Celek is no Gronk, so I can see Gronk having a big game. We'll take your thoughts on that in a moment. But then his question. Also, we know Belichick is known for taking away one thing that the other team does well, and we pretty much agree. We think that it'll be Ray Rice. When he does that, does he use extra personnel, as in dropping a guy into the box, or does he just have the line focus more on stopping the run and not applying as much pressure via the pass rush?
Well, I think Patrick Chung makes his money around the line of scrimmage, so he's going to be, quote-unquote, in the box. But more often than not, it's your front seven that has to get the job done. The one thing I will say is I think he feels more comfortable with Steve Gregory in the back end, having kind of one safety up, Patrick Chung up, feeling like, you know, it's not Matthew Slater back there. You know, this is a professional that's played in this league, started games. Now, how that works out, if they, you know, Torrey Smith can make plays down the field. They open the season 52 yards or whatever. You know, that'll change, but I would have Patrick Chung up as a true strong safety. That's what I'd be doing, and I'd be building off of that, going from there, adjusting from there.
On the other side, the first part of the question about the tight ends, I do think they struggled with Celek last week, and I would anticipate what we've been talking about in terms of Gronkowski. I think he might be a bigger part of the passing game earlier than he has been the first two games. It seems like they've let the game sort of unfold a little bit, and then they went to Gronk when they needed him.
Right.
The first two games. I'd rather sort of try to get him early, get him going, and make the, because I think he commands so much attention. I think if you get him a few catches early, and the other team says, we just can't let this guy kill us, he's just so big and strong, and all of a sudden you got to put a couple of different guys on it, then go to Lloyd. Then go to Lloyd and see if he can pop a screen with only one guy out there, and if he makes that guy miss, you got to play out of it, you know?
Last week it did seem like it was get Lloyd and Edelman in the game.
Yeah.
And then, poop's hitting the fan. Notice I said poop.
I did notice that.
Tried to goad me into saying the other word. then it was, okay, now I'm going to go to my guys, Welker and Gronkowski. I'd like to see Gronk. I think Gronk is now your best weapon. You've lost Hernandez. To me, physically, matchup-wise, Gronk is your best weapon, so I'd like to see it.
And in this
one quick question.
This specific matchup against the Ravens, they've already had trouble against the tight end.
Well, that was my question. Yeah. Is I'd heard people, criticisms, Celek, blah, 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 Lewis. You know, he shouldn't even be on the field on third down. They take him off the field. He's slow. He's old. That's where it's starting to show up. And then I read Teddy Bruschi talking about it looks like Ray Lewis lost 20 to 25 pounds. He looks quicker and faster than he's ever looked, or not than he ever has, but he looks quicker and faster than he did last year or more recently,
right.
Which is the truth.
Yeah, and I also think the Ravens did a pretty good job in the AFC Championship on the offense in general. Now, they didn't shut down anything completely, but that offense didn't look the same against the Ravens as it did most games last year with the tight ends and stuff. Ed Reed, to me, looks a little bit more like the old Ed Reed. Last year, don't forget, he was injured early.
He's got two picks through the first two games.
Yeah, and there was another play in that game that Michael Vick just made an absolutely perfect deep throw to DeSean Jackson down the sideline. Reed was the safety coming over, and he lit up Jackson right as he caught it. He was a hair too late, but if that throw wasn't absolutely perfect, kind of like Eli Manning's in the Super Bowl to Manningham, Ed Reed's there to break that play up. So he still, to me, looks like he's covering some ground back there. I'd be careful about, you know, testing those two guys, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. I'm not saying you stay away from them, but those are two really, really...
pick your spots, you're saying.
Yeah, they're such classy veterans in... they still have the ability to make plays, and we've seen both of them do it against the Patriots. I would be careful with, trying to take advantage of the age of those two guys.
All right, we're about a half hour away from kickoff between the Patriots and Ravens here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Let's knock out some of these phone calls. 508-298-0398. It's the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where Chris dials us up, and Chris is a member of the Pats Arizona Fan Club joining us here on Patriots.com. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Tough week for you?
Yeah. Looking for a good rebound this week. Hopefully, maybe they can get Welker into the game and get that short crossing pattern stuff going and move the chains a little here.
I'm confident. If Welker doesn't get involved tonight, then I'm going to be worried.
Yeah, you know, I think hopefully they're just trying to rest him up a little bit and throw the other teams off a little bit, but I think they need to start using him.
No, I think we're all in agreement. I think that he needs to be a bigger part of the offense. I don't think there's much question about that.
Are you confident tonight?
Absolutely.
Took you a second to say absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
Took you a couple minutes to come up with absolutely there.
We're always confident out here. We got a good crowd. It's kind of like being in Foxborough, except we're out here where it's 100-plus degrees. So.
Except there's a lot of sand, it's hot, it's nothing like Foxborough. It's a lot like Foxborough.
Well, if you were actually here and you heard all the game chants going and all the first down calls and all that stuff, you'd understand what I was talking about.
How many people we got tonight?
Right now, they're still filtered in, but looks like we probably got 40 or 50.
Wow. Nice. Enjoying it. Did you already send in a photo?
I believe we've sent in several photos.
Okay, perfect. All right, send another just in case. You got any hot ladies in the crowd tonight? We like those hot Arizona women.
This is Arizona. We always have hot ladies in the crowd.
Well, then definitely send another photo. We're ready for it.
See, Tony, it doesn't have to be a sausage.
Such a lie.
All right, that was Chris from our Pats Arizona fan club. Keep sending in those pictures, by the way. If you're out there tailgating, you can do it using the hashtag PPGS via Twitter or send them into web radio at Patriots.com. Speaking of big fans of women, let's head back up to the press box
fans of women.
And talk to our buddy Eric Scalavino joining us live from the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
All right, Eric Scalavino joining us from the press box, presumably in Baltimore. And Eric, I'm being told that you saw Donald Thomas out
Holy
there taking
crap.
Reps with the first team. Do I understand this correctly?
Yeah, that's what we just saw, Adam. Donald Thomas taking the first snaps at left guard. Dan Connolly back in his usual right guard spot. Logan Mankins rotating in at his left guard position.
Nice. That's not good.
No. Not based on what we saw last week against Arizona. Poor Donald Thomas had a really bad game.
Dab, even right beyond side. That, though, that's just not good that Logan Mankins not taking those first team reps. That is, that's very concerning to me. Now,
although... I mean, like I said, that was in the first warm-ups. Now they're going into team warm-ups here against the defense, and Logan is back at the left guard with the
okay.
first team.
So Logan Mankins is fine. I'm going to go with Logan Mankins is fine because I don't think he'd be active if he wasn't going to play, even though we had that situation with your starting right guard last week with Dan Connolly, but I think they're two different beasts.
Or Andy, could it even be similar to what we've been seeing with Solder, where he plays a couple of series and then he gets rotated out. Vollmer.
Vollmer, yeah.
I would doubt it. I think, A, we have a guy named Logan Mankins who played apparently an entire season a year ago with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
So I think if he is active, he's going to play. I think it'd be a cold day in hell before Donald Thomas is able to pry him off the field saying, Logan, no, it's my series. not a job I'd want. I think Logan Mankins is there, he plays.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that sentiment. And based on what's happening right now in the warm-ups, it looks like that's going to be the case.
Eric, give us a feel for what's going on in the stadium because, we hear how much of a home field advantage they have in Baltimore. We obviously know what's going on with Torrey Smith and the tragedy with his brother. So what's the atmosphere like inside the stadium?
It's pretty energized right now. I mean, it's not full yet. There's still people filing in, but... the sidelines are pretty packed with guests and dignitaries. You might have seen tweets about Michael Phelps being here. He's a Baltimore native, thanks to our guy Brian Lowe here, who was on the field and spotted him earlier. Torrey Smith got a big, huge applause from the people who are here when he came out on the field for warm-ups in full uniform after what he's been dealing with all day today. And it's Sunday Night Football there. It's been a great, beautiful day down here. I think people are excited for kickoff. especially with the way the day has gone, you know, with upsets and overtime games around the league. There's a feel to this game, kind of like there was 5 years ago when we were here during that undefeated run in 07. That was a pretty loud and raucous and wild and weird game, and this kind of has the same sort of vibe to it already.
On the other side of the football, defensively, and I'm talking a little bit about the Ravens here, one of the personnel issues is Bernard Pollard saying he is going to play with those bruised ribs. And
yep.
We talked to somebody from Ravens.com earlier who said, you know, he might get shot up, but the indication is he is going to go. Is that what you're seeing out there right now?
I'm looking exactly. I'm on the 20-yard line on the left side of the field where the Ravens are warming up. And on defense, I see Ed Reed and Bernard Pollard lining up in the defensive secondary there.
Damn it.
Defensive backfield, sorry. Together. So, yeah, it looks like they're going to be out there together.
Yeah, because we all know that we'd be in good shape if we could get James Ahedebo on the field on defense for the Ravens. Nice man, but not a great football player defensively.
Right, exactly.
What else jumped off the field? I know one thing that I noticed in the tweets, I'm not sure if it was you or somebody else, you know, Bill Belichick spending some time before the game with John Harbaugh. And I think a lot of people have already sort of forgotten you know, that situation where Harbaugh brought up Spygate and the Patriots tainted titles and then quickly backtracked. I think he even issued a release and called Belichick. Just give us a little flavor in terms of did you see that and what else has kind of jumped off the field?
I did. And you know what? Honestly, I think that's water under the bridge at this point. I really don't think it's any big deal. I don't think it's anything anyone's really making a big deal about on the field. It doesn't seem to be anyway. I mean, actually, Harbaugh was shaking hands with several different Patriots. Brady I saw once, Welker a few times. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any sort of lingering ill will between them there. What does stand out to me, though, unfortunately, is that the fact that we're not seeing Shane Vereen again, and he's inactive tonight. And we are going to see, most likely, Kellen Winslow and Daniel Fells for the first time. That's, you know, obviously significant given what happened with Aaron Hernandez and the fact that, you know, Fells has been hurt since basically he got here, and Winslow just got here this week. So those two moves, I think, are interesting. It's going to be I'm curious to see how that plays out, you know, with the tight end personnel groupings, because they have four tight ends active tonight with Pahoma, Awanui, and obviously Gronk, too. So look for the tight ends to play a big role. And also Brandon Lloyd, who was limited this week with a thigh injury, seems to be doing fine running around out here and making his cuts and whatnot.
Real quick, you brought up Winslow, and obviously people will be watching his role. But from, you know, this is sort of the first time we've seen him run routes and do a lot on a football field. And he has this terrible knee situation that he talked about. Do you notice anything? I mean, does he limp? Does he have a brace on? What describe the knee situation with him.
When he was after the kickers, he was the first one out here doing, you know, simulating running routes against nothing and just like trying to shed blocks at the line and pretending he was catching passes and just sort of, I guess, mentally going through that in his mind. And for the first three or four routes that he ran, I would say he kind of looked like he had a little, really slight limp. But then once he got into a groove, that sort of went away, and then he was making cuts sharp and without any hesitation. And then in the warm-up drills with the quarterbacks throwing to him, he looked like there was nothing at all wrong. So maybe it just could be that's what he needs to warm up and get shake that whatever lingering pain or stiffness is there, and then he's fine. So, he looked okay to me. It didn't look like, if you didn't know that he had a knee injury, you wouldn't really suspect it.
Eric, quickly, before we let you go, who are you taking in this thing tonight?
Usually the Patriots bounce back after games where they've, you know, laid an egg like they did last week, but they usually don't bounce back against a team this good. So I think it's a tough task for them. I think they're going to lose tonight.
All right. Eric Scalavino hopping on the Paul Perillo bandwagon over there, picking against the Patriots. Eric,
close
as
game.
Always.
Close game. It's only going to be by maybe 4 points, but it's going to be a tight, low-scoring game.
Eric, as always, thanks for joining us here from the Baltimore Press Box.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Eric Scalavino picking against the Patriots. Actually, I forgot. Paul's picking Ty. So actually, it's not it's not quite the exact same thing.
Paul's just utterly despondent. What is the all-time record for losing five knockout picks in three weeks? That has to be a record.
Who are you going to lose?
Pittsburgh is about to go down.
Oh, they're about to. Oh, I thought it was going to overtime.
Oakland's well into field goal range here with 27 seconds left in a tie game. I'm about to lose my fifth knockout pick.
I've not been following along in that game. We were conducting
3 weeks of action.
We were conducting an interview.
So we now start
studio,
shows with gambling stuff that no one cares about, and we end it with gambling stuff that no one cares.
Let's squeeze in another phone call here, quick. Melvin's in Tennessee. Your next step here
fumble,
on Patriots.com. What's going on, Melvin?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing excellent.
Great.
Man.
Hey, Melvin.
Hey. Well, I just had to make a statement. Then one quick question for you all. Well, as far as dating back to the AFC Championship game last year. One of my things I was impressed about was, I guess, the Patriots' ability to run the football last year. So I think that's going to be really important in this game, and I think that Ridley should be able to run more effectively than even Ben Jarvis did. I think that was one of the most potent drives they had, with just running it, kind of slowing the tempo down a little bit and regaining the momentum. And as far as I know you all have talked a lot about the tests that they've had. And I just wanted to ask the question of who do you think has the biggest test tonight? Do you think the linemen have the biggest test? The defensive backs have the biggest test? Just who are, as a personnel group, do you all think has the biggest challenge tonight against the Ravens?
I think the secondary. Yeah, that's what I'm least sure of at this point. I think Chandler Jones is going to make some plays. I think these linebackers can make some plays, be competitive up front. But if guys are open, I generally think Flacco's probably going to hit them.
I agree. And there were a lot of guys open in that AFC Championship game. There was some with more plays than they made. Let's put it that way. There were more opportunities to make plays than they took advantage of. And the secondary's got to get a little bit tighter.
All right. Well, that'll do it here for the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social here on Patriots.com. We appreciate your phone calls, your emails, and all your feedback on the pregame social. And we also appreciate Fat Tony's sausage. Really. Taking
impressive
us through
sausage.
These 2 hours.
We now know why they call him Fat Tony. It's got nothing
impressive.
To do with his belly or anything like that.
Very impressive and delicious sausage.
Fat sausage.
I must say.
Thank you, fellas.
So, Tony, thanks for
stopping
by.
Thank you, fellas.
I'm providing us with that. I, of course, will be talking to you after this one, Sun Life Patriots post-game show here on Patriots.com. We'll see how the Patriots fare against the Ravens, and we'll talk to you later on tonight.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. This week, the Patriots take on Ray Rice, Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens on
play action fake by Flacco. Over the middle it goes. It is intercepted by Brandon Spikes at the 35, 40, 45 at the 50 of Baltimore, and out of bounds on the far side of the field.
Be sure to tune into Patriots.com for the Patriots postgame show with Adam Jones immediately following tonight's game.
Patriots come hard. He looks and fires to the right. It is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40. Speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.